God indeed promised the children a land flowing with milk and honey. Many were the challenges that they were soon to realize. Was their God bigger than the challenges ahead? Or were the challenges greater than their God? God places goals and visions on our hearts. But what do we do with the obstacles along the way? How do we handle these? God's Word has the answers. Let's join Pastor Paul as he answers the above.
We're driving in this morning, and I'm focused on God, and Joshua was with me in the car, and he said, isn't Pike's Peak looking beautiful or wonderful or something like that this morning? I'm like, yeah, you're right. It looks awesome. It looks very nice out there. So we live in God's country. Sometimes people come from out of state and like, wow, look at the mountains. Like, yeah. It's easy to forget because we get used to it, right? But it looks nice. Thank you, Lord. And I hope the new year is treating everyone well. And we thank God for what he's doing and what he's about to do. I pray that may your life not be the same after this morning. Be expectant as the word of God goes forth, because the entrance of his word gives light. The entrance of his word gives light. And in the mighty name of Jesus, my prayer, my heart desire is that this year will be the best year of your life. Yeah. You testify and say, see what God has done. He has been faithful. God has been so good to even bring us up to this point. It is just by his grace. It is just by his mercy. And I pray that we will enter the fullness of all that he has for us. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Say amen like you are in church. Say amen. It's cold out here, but it's not cold in here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. All right. Last week, we talked about so important as we enter into a new season and a new year for us to see what God has for our lives. That's what makes all the difference in our Christian walk and in our Christian experience. See what God has. And you can always catch up on the website if you missed it, but I can spend a whole month right there seeing what God has for our lives. But this morning, we'll go a step further here in our study, but let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is chapter 3, verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but I make a decision. I make a choice. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And he continues to say, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. His goal was to keep pressing forward. His goal was, he forgets about the past. Forget about the past and keep looking ahead and press towards that goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, it's so important to have a goal, something that you are striving to get to. And in this new year, our heart desire is that, Lord, what do you have for me this year? In every area of my life, have that goal. He said a psychologist did an experiment. And you remember we talked about last week in Habakkuk chapter 2, where he was saying that, write the vision down. Make it plain. Write it down. What do you want to see in your life this year? This psychologist, this is an experiment, and he told the people to write down what their goals. And some people just ignored what he said. And other people wrote down their goal. And at the end of the year, they looked at it and said, some of them said, without even making an effort, we're able to get to the goal. That's just not, I mean, just by writing it down and having something before us, we were able to get to that goal. So important. He says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And as you write down those goals, keep in mind Matthew 6:33, which says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put the kingdom of God first in every area of your life. He said that for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, God must be first in our lives in this year. God must be first in every area of our lives. Then everything else will come together. Where everything else will be added to us. This year, I see you going forward in the mighty name of Jesus. I see you experiencing God's best for your life. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for getting those things which are behind and pressing towards the mark of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, it's so important also to realize that let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. That was just the appetizer. Now we are getting into the main meal here. Genesis chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. Numbers. My apologies. Numbers chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So many times I hear people say that Moses sent out the spies. No, the instructions actually came from God to spy out the land. That was his idea. Now, if you jump to, then he lists out the names of the people that he sent out. And verse 17 says that, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or few or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether they are forest there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruits of the land. Now the time of the season of the first, now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went out and spied the land, and now they departed and came back. Verse 25 says, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the children of the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the from the giant. And notice, they say, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Now, God had told them, God had given Moses a task, and he has said, I'm going to take my people to a land flowing with milk and honey. And for us, that may be things that, when you talk about the land of Canaan, for us, it's a type of our rights and privileges in Christ, of what God has done for us, of our inheritance, what we actually belongs to us. So he said, I'm going to take you to this place. This is what I have for you. Maybe as we start the new year, for us, that might be the things that we want to see in our lives in this new year. Now, God said, send our people to go and take a look at the land. And when they went into to spy out the land, they came back with a report. And 10 of them said, we cannot take the land. The people who are there, number one, they said, the cities, verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And they continue saying, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. 30 says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. You see, they all went to the same destination. They all saw the same things, but their perspective was different. You see, how we see our world, how we see the circumstances of our lives makes all the difference. There were giants in the land, sure. The cities are walled and strong. That's all true from the natural standpoint. Martin Luther, the reformist, said, if we look into the world with glasses of fear, the whole world will be seen filled with worries and fear. While if we look into the world with glasses of faith, everything will look like something to be thankful for and also good, and even the hand of God will be revealed. According to one's frame of thinking, every circumstance will look different along with its interpretation and result. Therefore, what we see is very important. Very important. 10 people saw the walls. They saw the giants. They saw the mountains. Remember, God didn't tell them about the walls. He didn't tell them about the giants. He didn't tell them about the mountains. Who cares if when God is with you? It doesn't make a difference. When God is with you, oh, you see those walls and see and look beyond those walls and look at the stars and say, God who created the stars is higher than those walls. You look at those mountains and look at them and say, God is bigger than those mountains. You look at those giants and say, God is bigger than any giant that can come along the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land which devours its inhabitants. Think about it. They're now exaggerating. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. Then we saw the giant, the descendants of Anak, come from the giant. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Notice how they saw themselves is how the people saw them. How we see ourselves, we must see ourselves in this new year in the light of what God has made us to be. How we saw ourselves is how they saw us. I mean, Caleb said, let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we are well able. And notice also, he said that the children of Israel gave a bad report. The King James says they give an evil report. It's a report of doubt. It's a report of unbelief. We are not able to do this. So that when you get to chapter 14, verse 1, so all the children of Israel, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Verse 6. I like these two people. They are my kind. Verse 6. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the children of the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. These people, Caleb and Joshua, decided to believe in the goodness of God. If the Lord delights in us, he's going to bring us into the land. And he says that don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. They are our bread. That's what we feed on. I like Caleb. He feeds on impossibilities. He feeds on mountains. And later on we'll see that. I'll come back to that point, but let's keep going here. So these people rebelled against God. And notice what God said about them in verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord. Notice what God said. Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. 30, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I will make you dwell in. He says, as you have said, that's what's going to happen. What they said and what they saw and said is what they received. Was it God's fault that they didn't enter the promised land? No, God has said, I have given you the land. Why did they not get there? They saw the giants, they saw the mountains, they saw the impossibilities, they put it against God, and to them, their God was so small, he couldn't help them. Joshua and Caleb said, these people are bread for us. God, if God delights in us, he will bring us into the land. And they were the only two of the adults that were over 20 years that entered the land. This year, that which God has for your life, Oh, we have to get to the point where we see God for who he is. Where we see him as bigger than any challenge that we can ever face. He said, Caleb said, these people are bred for us. Let's go take the land. We'll take the land. Did he take the land? He did. This company hindered Caleb and Joshua for 40 years from getting to the place earlier than they normally would have gotten to. But when he got to Joshua chapter 14, thank you, Lord. I'm taking my time because these things are so important. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, my Lord and my God. He says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. God described me like that in Numbers as well. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden will be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, below, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite to this day. Notice the phrase, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To possess our inheritance, we must make a decision and a choice this year that we will follow God. We will walk by faith and not by sight. God was displeased with his people because they didn't believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, the Bible says. Wholly follow the Lord. His name means wholeheartedly. His name means faithful, Caleb. His name means also like in their language, like a dog, someone who follows faithfully. Wholly following the Lord will bring us into our inheritance. And then seeing what God has said and speaking in line with his word will bring us to where God has destined for our lives. We have a choice. We have a decision. We can look at the impossibilities, or we can choose to look at God and follow him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus talking to Peter and his brothers, he said to them, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Our making in life comes down to a decision to follow the Lord. Our fulfilling God's plan for our lives and receiving all that he has for us comes down to that decision to follow him with all our hearts. How many people at 85 do you see taking a mountain? Caleb said, give me this mountain. God said it. It belongs to me. I am going to take this mountain. I don't care who is in there. This is mine. I am going after it with a tenacity that this belongs to me. I am going after it. Sometimes, for him, he had to wait for 40 years because of the other people that hindered him. But sometimes in our lives, certain circumstances seem like they are long-standing. They've been there for a while and it will never change. But this year, make a decision that you will see God for who he is and trust his promises, trust his word, see what he sees, see what he's saying about your life in his word, stand on his promises, and sooner or later, I can assure you by the word of God, this year will be different for you. That which seems impossible, that which seems like it will never come to pass, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak by the word of God that this is your year, and those mountains will be removed. That which it seems impossible will get out of the way, so you can enter the fullness of that which God has for your life. If you believe it, shout amen this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to see ourselves in the light of what God has said. God is faithful. Follow him wholly. No matter what is in your way, you make a choice and a decision to follow the Lord. And our confidence is in God. And for us, Jesus Christ, you see, that for us, we have to, on the cross, Jesus Christ paid an ultimate sacrifice for you and I to enter God's best for our lives. So as we look at him and what he has done for us, it makes all the, you see, it makes all the difference what you see. What do you see? I like Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. He says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our sins. He was wounded. The chastisement necessary to obtain our peace and our wholeness was all laid on Jesus. Our healing was purchased on the cross for us. He was made a curse for us that the blessing of Abraham might come on our life. That is what we should be focusing on. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, you begin to see yourself like that. Begin to see yourself walking in the blessing. Christ has been made a curse for me. On the cross, he paid an awesome price. Oh, he paid a price to bring me into God's fullness. Spirit, soul, body, and in every area of my life. That's how God sees me. From God's standpoint, it's already done. And like we discovered last week in Philippians, where he says, now work hard to show the result of your salvation. Now we begin to focus on what he has done. The way you are now may not be reflecting who God has made you to be. But I can assure you, as you work with God and begin to see yourself like who he has made you to be, believe it in your heart and speak it out of your mouth, it will turn the circumstances of your life around. And following him faithfully. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. The chastisement to obtain my peace was laid upon him. Oh, I receive his wholeness in every area of my life. This year, I will enter and walk in the fullness of all that God has for my life. The curse has been broken over my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Devil, you will not have a hold on my life anymore. You are not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, this oppression will not keep holding me down anymore. I am free. If Jesus has made me free, I am free indeed. Hey, by his stripes, I am healed. I receive his healing in my body. Now, sickness, pack your goods and get out of my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Begin to see yourself that way. His abundance is mine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Does this help us this morning? It makes all the difference. He said, as you have said, you see, it says your complaint, I've heard your complaints. What you have said is exactly what you are going to get. What you have said in my hearing is what you are going to receive. So what are we saying to the Lord? What is he hearing? Think about it. You step aside a little bit and then just see, just listen to what does God hear come out of my mouth? Is he hearing that he is your father? He is with you all the time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to get to that point where Jesus and what he has done is all that we focus on. And see. He wants us to see ourselves in the light of what he's done for us. You see, God communicates, like we learned last week, through dreams and visions that he gives us. To Abraham, he says, look at the stars and count. And that is what your descendants will be. To Joseph, he gave him a dream that he was going to be. And so despite all that he went through, that dream sustained him. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that God will reveal what he has for your life, or you will see what he has destined for your life in his word. And as you see it, begin to believe it and speak it out of your mouth. It did the same thing for Jacob. He kept being cheated and cheated and cheated in life. He got to a point, God said, enough is enough. In Genesis chapter 31, thank you, Lord. We looked at it, but let's go back there again. It'll pay us to see it again. Genesis chapter 31, verse 10. Notice what the Bible says. It says, and it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes now and see. Notice the phrase, lift up your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So after he saw the dream, then he started implementing it, and sooner or later, the good flock became his. But God gave him a dream. He said, see, he wants you to see it. That area is so important. That area of hope is so important. Notice to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, he says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty man of valor. See, Jericho was shut up. The walls were very high. But if Joshua can see it, he can possess it. If you can see what God has for your life, And what he has destined for you, no matter the trials, no matter the test, no matter what you may go through, no matter the impossibility, you will enter into it. See, what do you see? We come back to that point again. What do you see? Do you see the mighty walls? Do you see the giants? Do you see the same circumstances remaining? Or do you see God acting on your behalf, doing miracles and removing them out of the way? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We must strive that in this year, nothing will stand between us and entering God's best for our lives. I like this man here in Luke chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. He says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But and Jesus perceived their thought. He answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. This man set out, his goal was to receive his healing. Your goal this year might be different, but the steps are similar. He got there and the mountain before him, the thing before him was the crowd. And the Bible says that Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present, like his presence is present this morning. To heal them, but it's not recorded that any of those doctors of the law and Pharisees received anything. The power is there to deliver them. The power is there to heal them. God's power now is everywhere to deliver you. This man and his friends, I like the man born by four with his friends, they get there and Jesus, there's no way to get in there. The crowd is standing between him and receiving that which he has set out to receive. Think about it. If they got there and all they saw was the impossibility, and all they started talking about how difficult it will be to get to Jesus, would the man have been healed? He will still have remained in that condition. But I like people like that. This is the company I identify with. Joshua and Caleb and these friends. We have to find a way. Today is my day for a miracle. I have come to be healed and I'm not living without it. This year is my year to enter into God's fullness and I will not let anything pass me by. Let's break up the roof. The people said, what are you doing? He said, don't forget about it. We'll fix your roof later. But this man must be healed today. This man must be healed today. And the Bible says, Jesus, when Jesus saw their faith, God always sees faith. And that is what pleases him. When he saw their faith, he said to the man, rise up, your sins are forgiven you. Rise up and go home. And immediately he walked. But they refused to look at the impossibility. They refused to look at what was standing in the... You see, faith will always find a way. Faith will always find a way. Caleb said, our God will give us the land. This man said, this man and his friend said, we are getting to, faith will always find a way. Believe God to the very end. When we get to our very end, when we get to the place where we say, it's not over till we say it's over. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When we get to the place where we say, God, you are my source. You are my God. You are with me, and you being with me is big. You are bigger than any giant, any mountain, or any obstacle that I face. Think about David. He gets to, I like people like that. He gets to the battlefield in 1 Samuel 17, and everyone is running away from the giant. It's like, what? If you were speaking it out there, that's how you asked. That's what you have said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the armies of God? Today, his head will come down and I will cut it off. What did he receive? He got exactly what he said. Everyone was seeing the giant. He was seeing God. It all comes down to perspective. How you see it. Your God is bigger than any giant, anything that is ever that is in the valley. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. I will not fear, because my God is bigger than anything in the valley. Oh, my. I remember a couple of years ago, at the lowest point of our lives, we saw God, that he is bigger. He is bigger. No matter the test and trials that we face, he is bigger. He is bigger. I said he is bigger. I said he is bigger. I said, he is bigger. I said, he is bigger. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And in the mighty name of Jesus, as you trust him with your life, as you commit your life to him, in Jesus' mighty name, I see God delivering you. If you believe that, say amen. As you follow God wholeheartedly, in the name of Jesus, I see you being delivered. I said, 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 I see you being delivered. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said that at the end of humans is the start of God. Now you may say, this is the end of the world. I am ruined. Nothing can be impossible. Then God says, commit it to me. This is my start. Your end is the beginning of God. However, if you say, God, please back off, God will retreat, saying, you may only realize only after suffering hardship. Therefore, when we face the end of the world, please commit it to God. He will be a new start when we confront difficulty. If we try to handle on our own, God won't work at all. If we move forward saying, whether life or death, prosperity or destruction, I will depend on you only. God takes the responsibility and starts to work for us. God says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great unsearchable things you do not know. In Jeremiah 33:3. When it becomes difficult, take it to God in prayer. Let him be your confidence. Let him be the one in whom you trust. And I can assure you, God will deliver you. God will deliver you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if God is with you, your tomorrow will be all right. If God is with you, no one can successfully be against you, because he is our Father. He loves us so much. But when we keep talking negatively and complaining, he doesn't have anything to work with. But when we come to him full of confidence, full of trust, believing in him and in his word, it makes all the difference. I want to encourage us this morning that we should put our trust and our confidence in God. Begin to see what he has spoken concerning our lives and begin to speak it, believe it, and speak it out of our mouth. Psalm 118 verse 5 says, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. Verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Trust in the Lord. I called unto him, and he delivered me from my distress. I called on the Lord, and he delivered him. Delivered me. As you call on God, I said, I see God delivering you. Oh, Psalm 107. Encourage yourself with these verses. Verse 4, he says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. They cried, he delivered. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let him be your confidence in this new year. Let him be the one that you trust in. Let him be the one, oh, that you put your confidence in. Proverbs 3:25 says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble when the wicked, or from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The Lord will be your what? Confidence. Let him be your confidence. And I can assure you, he will come through for you. As you believe his word, as you trust him, and as you speak with your mouth in line with his word, your life will not be the same this year. This year is your year. This will be the best year of your life. This will be the year that your life will make a difference in the life of other people, helping them to come and know this peace, this joy, this love that you have, and testifying and see, come and see what God has done in my life. He will do the same for you. My life has been totally turned around. My life has been totally transformed by his power, by his love, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
We pray this message empowered you to face your giants as you pursue the visions and goals God placed in your heart. On our website, find the contact where you can send us questions about the message you just heard. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your App Store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.